Welcome to the Oakland Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Senior Pastor Randy Bain. It's our prayer that this message encourages you and strengthens you. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.
Amen. This is the third week in this blessed sermon series, and a couple notes. We have a new stage back. What do we call it? Design. Thank you, everyone that worked on that. I don't know if you noticed when the videos played on the projector, it didn't shake. Did you know? Did anybody notice that? Yeah. So actually, we got a new computer, one that is a little better capable to handle things. And so I thought, well, we don't want to be shaky, so we don't. So anyway, we got that. So praise God, little nuances that are happening and improvements. The theme for our sermon series, Bless, is number 6. You just saw it on the screen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Number 6, 24, 26. Bless, the B-L-E-S-S, you know, B for begin in prayer, L, listen with care, E, eat together, S, serve in love, and then finally S, share your story. It is not meant to be one more thing you have to do, okay? I mean, I get that. I mean, life's busy. Sometimes you're trying to do everything possible in the Christian life that you can do it, and it's not like this is one more thing you have to do, okay? I mean, the B part, I'm still on the B, honestly. I'm still praying. I don't even know the guy's name I'm praying for, okay? I haven't met him yet, but I know where he lives, and I know the Lord is leading me to him, so. But I'm praying for him. I haven't got to the L. I haven't even met him. I'm waiting for, you know, an opportunity, which is a little lame because I could make the opportunity, but we'll get there. So, and eating together, I mean, that might be months away. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I was originally planning, when I thought of this sermon series, when I saw the E, I thought, well, Darlene can make cookies or something. I can take them, give them to them. That'll be easy peasy, right? I mean, that'll be easy. That is not what I'm talking about. It isn't just giving them a treat. It's like sitting down together and having a meal together and discussing, talking, communicating. I mean, this isn't just one more thing to do. It is a culture shift. It is who we are as Christians, okay? I mean, it's what God expects us to do. It is our witness to the world. And so, yeah, I didn't get the L done yet. I will get there, but God has impressed on my heart and that there's going to be an opportunity, and I'm going to sit down with this person, and I'm going to get to talk to them. I'm going to get to hear their story. I mean, that's going to happen. But that's who we are. That's how we reach this culture. I heard in a Sunday school class, they were saying, well, in our culture, how do we reach them nowadays? And I was kind of quietly sitting there, and they said, well, what do we do? How do we reach the lost? How do we reach this culture? And I kind of raised my hand and said, well, there's an acronym that you can use, B-L-E-S-S. That's how we can reach this culture. So I want to, don't feel overwhelmed. Don't leave this place like, oh, boy, one more thing I have to do. You know, I didn't even say anything about giving, you know, that's the next thing, you know, we need to give more. No, it's not one more thing you have to do. This is just who we are. This is who God wants us to be as Christians in the world. So let's keep at it. Keep praying. You know, when you finally get that opportunity, led by the Holy Spirit, listen with care. And of course, we want to serve and share our story. It's not one and done, but it's a lifetime. A lifetime of walking in the Spirit in communion with God and being his witness. That's what we want to do. So that's really what I want you to share. This morning we're going to look at eat together. And I'm going to read, there's tons of passages on eating together, but we're going to look at Romans 12, 9 to 14 and talk a little bit about hospitality. So hear the word of God from Romans 12, verse 9. Love must be free of hypocrisy. Detest what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Amen. Lord, thank you for this, your holy word, and thank you, Lord, for the challenge. But Lord, anything you call us to do, you challenge us to do, you have enabled us to do through your Holy Spirit. Empower us today to hear, but also empower us, Lord, to do those things that you would have us do, that we would be more like you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I picked two verses together. They're very short, verses 12 and 13, for a memory verse. So let's at least recite it together, and hopefully you can work on memorizing this. Would you join me? Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Romans 12, 12 and 13. Well, hospitality, we usually think of eating together. And you know, I have a wonderful, God is so good. It's amazing. I wasn't even thinking of this illustration as I began to work on the sermon on Friday morning. The Lord brought a memory back to me. And it was years ago when Darlene and I went off to seminary. We traveled like 8 hours or so with a U-Haul truck to seminary. And we got there, we got our two kids settled. We went to church that first Sunday. And in the first service at their church, my first Sunday at that church was the pastor's first Sunday at that church. It was pretty awesome. So we were like both newbies at the same moment. And so we went back on Sunday evening to the Sunday evening service. And we sat down, we worshiped, and a nice couple who sat, I think, right behind us, leaned up after the service and said, "Are you new here?" Now, they could have said, "Do you come here often?" But they pretty much knew we were newbies. I guess we stuck out, you know, this giant horn on the one side of our head that said newbies, you know. And so they said, "Are you new?" And we said, "Yeah, we're new." And so they stood there and talked to us. They listened to our story. Where'd we come from? Who are we? Tell us about your kids. And so we got to stand and visit for a while. It turned out his name was Dr. Ron Kateski and his wife Bonnie, and he was a professor at Asbury College. And so after visiting with us for quite a while, then they said, "Why don't you come to our house this week for a meal?" And I'm like, "Wow, okay, well, we haven't even bought groceries yet, maybe, you know, so yeah, we'll do that." And so we made an appointment. I don't even know what day of the week it was, and we got to go to their house, and they got to hear more about us and meet us and make us feel welcome. We were the stranger. We were the new person. And this was the beginning of the semester. I mean, he had lots of work to do. He didn't need to do that, you know, but they reached out to us, and they ate a meal with us. What a blessing. It still leaves a lasting impression on my life that I was accepted as a new person. You know what it's like to be new and you're kind of nervous and, you know, you want to bolt. The service is over, you just want to run out the door because you don't know the rules. But they really made us feel welcomed and at home. And I celebrate that with you. The church has always had covered dish meals, right? I mean, it seems covered dish, potluck dinners, fellowship meals, whatever you call it, seems to be a staple of the New Testament church. And where do they get that idea from? I mean, why do we have to do that? It's funny, every denomination has a story about that. Methodists will say, you can't get together in a Methodist meeting without eating, right? Well, guess what? The Baptists say that, the Presbyterians say that, the Assembly, everybody says that because everybody does that. Where do they get such an idea? Anybody have an idea? They got it from the Bible. They got it from the New Testament church. They got it from Jesus. I mean, look at the passages of Jesus. How many times was he either feeding the multitude, sitting down at a dinner party with somebody? I mean, he was eating all the time. I mean, that's what they did. You know, it's just what we do. Now, at Oakland, covered dish dinners have always been a little bit of a problem because ever since I've been here, we didn't really have enough tables and chairs to have everybody in the church come to a covered dish dinner at the same time. So we kind of tend to have like little local, more local, like you have the worship team has a covered dish dinner, or maybe the youth ministry, or maybe the Sunday school class, or you have like little groups of covered dish dinners. And I know with the COVID, we've kind of de-emphasized the eating together, so we don't quite do it as much. But it's a part of the church. It's who we are. And so as we think about that, let's look at one aspect of hospitality. And that is first contributing to the needs of the saints. If you look at verse 13, it says contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, as you read that in Romans, it almost seems like practicing hospitality is synonymous or the same thing as contributing to the needs of the saints. And if you think about hospitality, I almost guarantee you're probably thinking, all right, when's the last time I had someone from the church over? When did I host a small group? When did I do something to make someone else feel welcomed? And that's usually what we think of as hospitality. But really, I want to tell you that that's part of it, but it's only part of it. If you look at Hebrews 13, it says, let love of the brothers and sisters continue. So here again, that's the ministry to those among us. That's to one another. That's to us. But then it goes on to say, do not neglect the hospitality to strangers. So there's kind of two parts to that, but one part definitely is ministry within the church. We want to make each one feel welcome. We want to feel like we're a part of the family of God. You know, one of the biggest comments I often, when talking to people about church, one of my pet peeves is when somebody says they. When are they going to have the next sight and sound program? What do you mean they? When are we going to do that? It's not they, it's we. It's us. We're the family of God. We're a part of this. We're in this together. And someone will say, well, they did this. No, we did this. You know, it's us, you know. I remember somebody had a funeral and they were going out the door and said, thank you for everything they did for us. Like, no, that's us. We're all part of the family of God. That's us. This is the family. And so there is definitely a sense of hospitality in that area. I said, where do they get the idea? They get it from the Bible. The classic passage is Acts chapter 2. After, 3,000 souls get saved in the opening day of Pentecost, it says in verse 42, Acts 2:42. Oh, there, good. We have it on the screen. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. All the believers were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and share them with all to the extent that anyone had need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Notice what they did as Christians. They worshiped together. They had a sense of awe. There were signs and wonders as they came together. God was doing mighty things. They worshiped in the temple. They shared things in common. They studied together. They prayed together. And they ate together. That's what they did. They ate together. So let me ask you this question. And we talk about hospitality. We talk about loving and meeting the needs of those around us, those in the church family. When is the last time you had a fellow Christian to your house to eat? When's the last time you had a church member, one of your co-worshippers, with to your house for a meal? Somebody came up to me after first service and they named the two Christians they had in their house last. I'm like, wow, that was good. I said, when was that? She went, I said, what, weeks, months, years? And then the one lady that she mentioned had died several years ago. She goes, How would I am? I mean, I can remember the person we had recently, like 2 months ago, maybe, at our house. I mean, here's a fun experience. I was really happy last week when I said afterwards to shake hands with somebody and say, do you come here often and then listen to their story? Because you guys hung around and it was pretty cool. It was neat. As they were putting the chairs away, people were still hanging around talking to people that they maybe didn't know before they came in. Here's another fun fact. You can do the Dr. Ron Kateski thing. After the service, you can go up to someone you kind of know marginally, or maybe you know, and you can say to them, do you come here often? And then you can say, why don't you come to my house this afternoon for a meal? And I call the ladies, are like, oh, I don't have anything, blah, blah, blah. What am I going to do? We were going to eat light. I was going to eat out. I mean, Well, just rest. Most people, I'm just estimating 75% are going to say, oh, I already have plans. And you're like, phew, that's good. Okay. But then you can follow that up with the next thing that says, what about this week? What about next Sunday? Right? We should practice that. Now I'm going to make you practice it. Maybe, but I want you to think about it. If we really want to be Jesus people, we're going to have to be Jesus people and eat with folks. Invite people to come and hang out with us. We're going to get to know somebody. Now here's the catch. If you're here this morning and you feel like a newbie, okay? I can see those horns, just push them down. We don't want you to stand out, stick out. You can be the one inviting someone to your house. Right? Right? I mean, if you want to listen to someone, you can be the one that says, do you come here often? And the old timer says, yeah, my mom and dad built this church, you know. I'm like, oh, really? Tell me about it. And then they will begin to unload the history of the church to you, right? I mean, it's okay. I mean, you can be that way. But you can be the one that says, why don't you come to my house to eat? You know, I knew a Catholic priest one time that he would put in the bulletin, Thursday, the priest, Father so-and-so, is eating hot dogs. Now, you know what that meant, right? Someone invite him out. You know, I don't want to eat hot dogs. Well, I actually would like to eat hot dogs, but that was the idea. So you can be the one doing the inviting. You don't have to sit around like I'm a newbie and nobody knows me. Well, then get to know someone. Invite someone out to your house to eat. You know, I know you have some good dishes. I mean, I don't mean fancy dishes, but it might be that. But I mean, things that you cook that people like, that we would like. Darlene and I go anywhere, we're invited. Yeah, we do. Okay, so if you want to get to know the pastors, invite them. Call them to have them come to your house. Okay, let's move on. So that's ministry within the church. There is a sense that that is hospitality. But hospitality is more than potluck. I want you to hear that. Hospitality is more than potluck. As we look at that verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, it sounds like he's saying the same thing over twice, but he's not. He is extending it. He is saying ministry to the needs of the saints to church folks, but then he is saying also practice hospitality. It's more to it. There's more to do. Now, the word for hospitality in the Greek is philoxenia. Philoxenia, it sounds like a real complicated word. It's actually hard to say, but it's two words put together. First word, philo, comes from the word Philadelphia, phileo. And what does Philadelphia mean? Brotherly love. The city of brotherly love. So it's talking about brotherly love, and then xenia in the Greek means a stranger. So can you put that together? You're now a Bible scholar. Hospitality means make brotherly love towards the stranger. You take the stranger and make them feel loved as a brother. That is hospitality. So really it's extending that. If you want to see it better, look at Hebrews chapter 13. It says, let love of the brother and sisters continue. There again, within the church. It says, verse 2, but do not neglect hospitality to strangers. So if we really want to be a person that has the gift of hospitality, then we need to be welcoming the stranger. We need to be welcoming those who are outside our sphere of influence, outside our comfort zone. Now, when I first came here several years ago, wow. Yeah. I came here in July of 2005. A lot of you weren't even born then, you know. So just saying. When I came here, we didn't know anyone. Really, we knew no one. And they did. They resurrected a practice of ministry that they had been doing periodically. It was called Tables of Eight. Have anyone ever heard of that? Anybody do that? There's one hand, two hands. Okay, we got a couple people. Well, Tables of Eight, there's another one. You know about that. Good. Tables of Eight was you would sign up for that in pairs. Now, normally the pairs were married couples, but they didn't have to be. It could be just two youth hanging out or an unmarried, anybody, pairs. And then we would assign, then you got assigned three other pairs. So you had four pairs. That's where you get tables of eight. And so what you would do for the next quarter or the next four months, once a month, you would go to one of those couples' houses for a meal. And then you spent time together, you got to hear their stories, And I still remember who we went with. And some of the stories, I mean, talk about strangers. These people were strange people. No, they were real characters. I mean, we never laughed so hard in my life. I'm like, wow, this is like the craziest church. I was so excited. It was some of the most awesome things. But what it did, it was it made me feel closer to the church family. Well, that's a good thing, right? I mean, I really began to love these people, and I got to know them, and I got to know three different families. It was pretty awesome. But also, a side effect of that that we don't notice is that we became more closed in as a church, right? We're closer to each other. Now we know each other better, and we love each other better. And the longer you're a Christian, the more you make friends of Christians, the more you hang out with Christians, and the harder it is to reach out to those outside the Christian community. Because when I say, give me a list of 30 names of people that are unchurched in your relationship, I literally have had people in the church, some of our staff have said, I don't know that many non-Christians. Because I work at church, I go to worship at church, I hang out with Christians. I mean, that's all I know. So don't get me wrong, that table of eights, we ought to do it again, because that was one of the funnest things that I have done in the Christian faith, in the church. I mean, it was a blast. It was great. You get some great dishes, new food that you want the recipe for, you know, and all that good stuff. But on the other hand, it does make us more closed in. It makes us more exclusive than inclusive. Romans 12:13 says, practice hospitality. Hebrews says, do not neglect the practice of hospitality to strangers. Now, let's give me an example. I said we get this whole idea of eating from Jesus. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus was invited to a dinner party by a Pharisee. And of course, the Pharisee invited all of his rich friends to come to the dinner too. And the friends were all jockeying to see who got the best seats. So that's like if you get to go to a wedding, that's the seat that's facing the bride and the groom, you know. So you make the other people sit with their back to them because they have to keep turning around, you know. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, they were jockeying for position to who gets the best seat. And Jesus taught the parable. He said, if you go to a dinner, go and sit at the worst seat. And if they want you up, they'll go get you and bring you to a better seat. But if you sit at the better seat and they don't want you there, then you're going to be embarrassed because they're going to ask you to move, you know. So after he said that, then he said this to the host. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Luke 14, verse 12. He went on to say, after the parable, to the one who invited him, whenever you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your relatives, or your wealthy neighbors. Otherwise, they will also invite you to a meal in return, so that will be your repayment. But whenever you give a banquet, invite people who are poor, who are disabled, who are limping, who are the blind, and you will be blessed, for they have no means to repay you, for you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous. Wow. So, I mean, I asked the question, when's the last time you had a Christian in your home for a meal? Then I can ask you another question. I don't want to ask it because I don't have a good answer. When's the last time you had a non-Christian, unchurched person, a stranger in your house for a meal? I don't know if we've ever done that, Darlene. Have we? One time I had a hobo came to the church. I made him eat in the church basement. Well, he needed a place to sleep too, and he's already sleeping there, so I just took food to him. Should have had him to the house, huh? I was patting myself on the back. I did this great thing. I took this hobo into the church, but I made him eat over there. Well, how are your hospitality muscles? Huh? Sometimes I have some lower back problems. And it's mainly because there are certain muscles that are not in tone, not in shape. Do you know what muscles they are? It's these ones, right? You know, some people have a six pack. I got the whole keg, right? All right, let's not talk about that. But what about your hospitality muscles? Do they look like a six pack or a keg? I'm afraid most of us in the church, our hospitality muscles look like a keg, right? We don't exercise them a lot. And if we do exercise them, we invite church folks because we like them. You know, or we just invite the church folks we like. You know, that's not really hospitality. We need to practice hospitality. We need to live as Jesus lived. We need to be willing to eat with the stranger, the least, the lost, and the last. Well, let's talk about Holy Communion. This morning we're receiving Holy Communion. You should have got a little cup like this when you came in. We do have ones that are gluten-free, so if you need that, make sure that you got the right one. If you didn't get them at the end of the sermon, which is a couple minutes away, the ushers will come in and you just raise your hand. They'll make sure that you get this. And so you don't have to open them until we're ready. At the end of the service, not yet. We'll get you in a second. We'll get you in a second. That's good. That's good. Someone's listening anyway. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Day by day they continued with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. That idea of breaking bread in the early church was taking their meals together, but every time they took their meal, it seemed like it was an opportunity to have Holy Communion. Holy Communion was instituted as the Last Supper. It was Jesus' last meal before he was crucified. It was the last Passover meal, because Jesus fulfilled the Passover. They didn't have to sacrifice a Passover lamb anymore because he was the Lamb of God. So communion for us is a sacrament, but it is also a symbolic meal together. So we break bread together. You know, the early Methodists had something like that. It's called a love feast. Now, I know the Brethren Church has their own kind of a love feast, but in Methodism, they would have a love feast, and what it was, you would have a meal together, you would sing and worship together, you would give testimonies, you would pray for one another, and then you would take communion. I mean, that was the love feast. And so we think about that every time. Jesus gives us the example. In Luke 24, he was, after the resurrection, he was walking with two men who were going to Emmaus, which was right near Jerusalem. And as he was going, he walked along with them. The scripture is there. And he acted like he was going to keep going, and they urged him to stay. And then when he stayed, it says, you can just read with me. So he went in and stayed with them. It came about when he had reclined at the table with them that he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and began giving it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. They were eating a meal together and they went in to had Holy Communion. My friends, this morning we're going to have a meal together. And if you are here this morning in United Methodist Church, we have an open communion table. That means if you're here and you want to follow Jesus, doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what denomination you are, if your desire is to follow Jesus, you are welcome to take this sacrament and to receive it and all the grace that God offers you in this sacrament. So I'm going to have the music come. We're going to get set up for this. Now, ushers, you can come in. They're standing back here looking at me, but they're not coming in. There we go. Okay. If you need a communion element, didn't get one, raise your hand, and the ushers will pass them out. If you need gluten-free, just tell the usher. So they're coming in, so just go ahead. We won't have you stand until everyone gets their communion elements. Yeah, go ahead. Now, Darlene's going to help me here with that. Okay, Darlene will give me a hand. Darlene's going to give me a hand. Oh, go ahead and start. Up front, everyone got it? Okay. You want to walk up the steps? Can you reach up? Your way. Lift it up. There we go. Thank you. Good. Thank you. Do you have words? Oh, okay. No, just hold on. Amen. If you have your cup in hand, I invite you to stand. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me in this general confession. We'll read it together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love, and we have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us silently pray to God, confessing anything silently to him. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring anything specific to mind. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue on the screen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. You might hold your bread up. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given to you. Do in remembrance of me." The body of Christ given for you. Don't eat it yet, just hold it. Now you can flip it over and hold the cup side up. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The blood of Christ shed for you and all the world. Amen. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a song. Are you going to lead us in a song? Or just, and we'll, I invite you to work at getting the bread undone. Think about the sacrifice Jesus made as we listen to this song.
Thank you, Jesus. For the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came. before the nail-pierced hands. You washed me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace.
Bread and eat and feed on Jesus Christ in your heart by faith.
Amen. The darling of heaven crucified. Worthy.
Turn the cup over now. Carefully get the juice undone.
Thank you for
take and drink. And be thankful that in Jesus' name, through his shed blood, your sins are forgiven. You are a child of God.
Bearing all my sin and all my shame, in love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, my Lord. Thank you for the day. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and embrace.
Shall we stand together? Father God, we thank you for this holy sacrament. Lord, we are forgiven. We have been reconciled. We are part of the family of God, and we are your children. You said you would never leave us or forsake us. Lord, I pray that as we remember, we would truly be remembered. We would be brought again into the family of God and renewed in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Oakland Church. For more information and for other resources, visit us at oaklandonline.org.